big welcome to the Heritage Council podcast. This year, our podcast will explore the multi-layered experiences which encompass Ireland's past and will also put into context how this sense of heritage is all about our collective experience and why so much that went before still resonates in the present. I hope you enjoy the show. In today's podcast, we travel to Tralee and hear how the town has been revitalised by a communal coming together to protect its past. Under the Historic Towns Initiative, a programme of investment to enhance Tralee's historic buildings was set in train. The Historic Towns Initiative, which is run by the Heritage Council, in partnership with the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage, promotes heritage-led regeneration in our historic towns. A number of bodies, ranging from Kerry County Council to the Irish Georgian Society, contributed to the project, along with significant community involvement, including children from a local secondary school who painted a series of murals based on the built heritage of the town. The project involved the conservation repair of historic wrought iron railings at Day Place, with all 10 building owners coming together to embrace the initiative. Main contractor Ned O'Shea & Sons and Brendan St. John, a blacksmith, carried out conservation repair of all railings at the front of a terrace of 10 buildings developed day one by Justice Robert Day, circa 1805. In addition, funding provided under the Historic Towns Initiative went towards the conservation of historic window joinery at 17 Denny Street, which were built circa 1825, and this included conservation repair and refurbishment of surviving original sash windows. The street was laid out by Sir Edward Denny, a Tralee landlord, following the demolition of Tralee Castle, which had been located in the heart of the town since the 1240s. In this episode, we chat with Victoria McCarthy of Kerry County Council, blacksmith Brendan St. John, and Eileen Nolan, the owner of 17 Denny Street. I hope you enjoy the show. A big welcome to Victoria McCarthy, who is the Conservation Officer for Kerry County Council. How are you keeping?
Morning, Greg. Hello, how are things?
Very good. Before we get into our topic for the day, could you tell the listener something about your role and what a Conservation Officer does for one of the county councils out there?
Okay, I suppose the role of conservation officer is set out in law, so I won't go through all of that, but my main function really is to look after the built heritage of County Kerry, which is an extraordinarily rewarding task, I can tell you. A lot of my work, my daily work, would include, I suppose, public outreach and education, the helping of owners to carry out conservation-led repair and upgrading, and to try and revitalise our towns and villages, which we all know are in need of a little help in these times. So it's a very, very rewarding job, Greg, and I would advise any young person considering a career in it to go for it. I've never looked back.
Yeah, and I know we were chatting earlier and I could feel your enthusiasm for what you're doing bouncing off the microphone. So I believe Tralee was one of the recipients of the Historic Towns Initiative in 2020, of course, pandemic year and everything.
It was indeed, Greg. Yes, that's right.
And I presume in your role, do you have to oversee those projects? Or how did all that work? How did it all come about?
Okay, I suppose it all started with the Town Centre Health Check, which was led by Alison Harvey at the Heritage Council in Tralee. And I suppose arising from that, the Chamber Alliance, Tralee Chamber Alliance, approached the County Council to partner with us in the year 2017 to look at addressing underutilisation of some of the town's main streets. So namely Denny Street would have been the start of all of this project. So in 2017 and 2018, the Chamber Alliance and the County Council ran a series of seminars and produced condition surveys, and we did some wonderful projects with some schools as well, with the Tidy Towns, looking at murals focusing on Georgian architecture and the history of Tralee Town, which is quite a rich town, I suppose, in terms of its background. So that led then in 2019 to further studies in Day Place, which is another Georgian terrace laid out by Justice Robert Day in the heart of Tralee Town. So with the outputs of all those projects in 2020, I was approached by some of the owners on Day Place in Denny Street, and together we applied for funding from the Heritage Council under the Historic Towns Initiative. And we got the wonderful news that we were successful with a €200,000 allocation, which was great.
And how does that work, Victoria? Does the town apply for a fund, or is it very, very specific projects that you need to apply for?
It is indeed, yes. So I suppose each local authority can apply for one historic town in its functional area. So I suppose the senior management team at Kerry County Council supported my application in applying on behalf of Tralee Town, but it was really a community project that got this off the ground. In fact, the letter of offer acknowledged the community involvement going back over several years of all parts of the community, from, as I mentioned, the secondary school students up to retirement groups as well. So we got the full age profile there. And look, the main thing was to try and support owners to get back into their historic buildings and showcase how these buildings are capable of reuse with a little bit of investment just to get them off the ground, you know.
And from your point of view, Victoria, was it difficult to narrow down the application to a few specific projects? I'm sure you would have had a myriad of choices, did you?
I suppose, yeah, I've a whole county ahead of me yet, Greg, so hopefully I'll have a long career in this. But I suppose the outputs from the 2017, 2018, 2019 projects had paved the way for the 2020 big application. So the condition surveys that we would have done in 2018, 2019 identified a range of projects that needed to be addressed fairly urgently. And I suppose those outputs, so the condition surveys that were done of the buildings at the time by conservation architects, Jack Collin Architects in Cork, helped me, I suppose, to determine what areas of work we needed to focus on. So we chose the railings and, I suppose, the street edge of those buildings to help the owners to invest in that part, with the idea that it would create a lift as well for the pedestrian and the town user, as well as the buildings themselves. That was a very, very important part to try and show, I suppose, to future employers, to show to owners of buildings, and to show to the town community that the town and its buildings are capable of being given a facelift, I suppose, really, and just to raise the profile of these buildings and to make them shine the way they did 200 years ago.
And could you tell me about the two specific projects for last year?
I can, of course. I suppose one of them was on Denny Street. So there were two aspects to that. There was a historic joinery of one of the most beautiful buildings in the whole street. It has extraordinary joinery inside in it, wonderful shutters and doors, lovely, lovely plasterwork. Some historic joinery there. So those the windows on two elevations of that building, a large, large building that's being used at the moment. And the owner there was absolutely wonderful to work with. And we also did some railings on Denny Street as well, one of the buildings. And then the other big part of the project was in Day Place, which is a terrace of 10 protected structures. So three-story over basement. And I suppose even getting those 10 owners to come together as a unified whole at the start of the COVID pandemic was a great feat for us, really. They were wonderful to deal with. And the fact that they came with the County Council and said, right, we'll go for it, particularly at a time of great uncertainty for the country. I'm very, very grateful to them all for sticking with the project. I suppose in these kind of streetscape projects, it's very important that owners and neighbours will work together and come together. And often this can be a challenging thing to achieve. And so it was a huge part of the success of this project, I think, was the inclusion of all those 10 owners.
Did the level of cooperation surprise you?
It did. It did. And as I said, particularly as COVID hit, I suppose I held a public workshop with those owners only about 2 days before the pandemic hit us. And there was a lot of uncertainty about access to site of labour, raw materials. Would we meet deadlines? What happened if we didn't meet deadlines? So there were lots of conversations and I suppose a lot of worry as well about the ability of businesses to cope financially. And as I mentioned, then the actual carrying out the physical work on site. But it worked. It was great.
I saw you on a YouTube clip, Victoria, if anyone wants to go onto YouTube. And there was like the before and after and the story of the development, I think, in particular, and the railings that you're talking about. And it brought a lot of other people into the mix as well, because there was a blacksmith with a very, very specific skill set that was required for it, and heard about wrought iron that comes from a specific place in the UK.
That's right.
This wasn't ordinary work, you know, where you call up your local tradesman and off you go.
Yeah, it was highly specialised. And I suppose working with that blacksmith, I've learned a huge amount myself as well, which I find a very rewarding experience. And Brendan St. John, who was the blacksmith who won the contract, taught me a huge amount. He has an extraordinary wealth of experience.
Before we hear more from Victoria about this project, we're going to have a quick chat with blacksmith Brendan St. John about his work in Tralee. A big welcome to Brendan St. John to the Heritage Council podcast. How are you keeping, Brendan?
Very well, thank you.
Now, can I tell you, you're the first blacksmith that I've ever spoken to.
Oh, well, there is a few around. I think roughly there's about 40 in the country at the minute, or a little over it, all doing various types of things, not all involved in restoration, but some in the artistic part of it and making knives and sculptures and different stuff that way. Yeah.
And not only are you the first blacksmith that I've spoken to, I believe, as you say, there's more than one or two of you around the country, and you're a member of the Irish Artist Blacksmith Association.
That's right, yes.
Could you tell me about that and how many members you have?
There is somewhere over 40. Some would be part-time, some would be full-time. There would be about three or four involved in restoration that I know of. Maybe some doing it part-time as well. Some would be doing sculptural work and that sort of stuff. Some then making gates and railings. And that would be roughly what they would be all doing.
You're based in Tipperary, I believe.
Yeah.
You were telling me before we press record that you're in the middle of a lot of places.
Yes, I'm about a half an hour from Clonmel, Cashel, Torlas and Kilkenny.
Okay.
About 20 minutes from Featherton and Callan.
And your own background, Brendan, how did you become a blacksmith? Was that in your family or where did that profession pop out of?
No, my family were farmers. I started off in 1989 doing fabrication of gates and railings. And then I just got interested in flatbar gates, which have been on a lot of farms.
Okay.
And how they were put together. And that's how I got started. Then I joined the Blacksmiths Association, IABA, and I would have met up with other blacksmiths there and learned a good deal from that. Then taking gates apart in that year and remaking the parts, that's how I got going at it. I suppose in the last 15, 20 years then it's been totally restoration.
That must be quite a different type of work and it requires a different set of skills. Was there special training for that area or is that just kind of learning as you go, Brendan?
It's learning as you go, yeah. Keep practicing.
And the reason we're having this conversation is that I know last year you were involved in a very special project which was working on 10 Georgian premises. It was the railings on 10 Georgian premises in Day Place in Tralee. Could you talk to me about that work and that job and what it involved?
Well, it involved, like, first of all, we tag and photograph the railings in situ.
Yeah.
And then we would remove them, take them up here, clean them, repair them, and bring them back again and reinstate them. We done it, there was 10 houses there. We done three, the railers around three houses first, then four, followed by the last three. And it took several months to get it done. But we were under pressure there to get it finished because the grants were due to be paid. And that is the trouble with a lot of the grant work, that there isn't enough time to do it.
Okay.
By the time we should be finished it.
And I'm sure COVID introduced its own few complications.
Yes, that didn't help us. No, it didn't help us in any way. But it was very interesting work, like, even though it was a lot of work and there was a lot of pressure doing it, but it was very interesting work. But I must say, there was a great bunch of people down there and gave every help they possibly could.
And on YouTube, yeah. I watched the before and after video about the project. There were a very special railing on those Georgian buildings. Are they quite unusual, Brendan?
they wouldn't be very unusual. Now, they're not unique, but they're unusual enough, like, you know. Every raid and it appears to be different that we do. Like, there's no, I've never come across two that's exactly the same. So they were very interesting to do, and there was a lot of scroll work there to be done on them, and just nice railings. Yeah, nice work. But they appear to be, I think the job there took over 10 years to do it, and I would imagine there was probably three different blacksmiths there from the type, from the way the railings changed from start to finish, just slightly different methods of doing things and different joinery.
And tell me, are there any signals or any hints along the way, you know, with how they were built as to where they would have originated from or who the blacksmiths would have been?
No, there's no, there was no, I didn't find any names anywhere. Which you often would on gates, you would find it on the slamming bar, or if there were just few gates, you might get it on the latch.
Yeah.
But there was no sign of anything there. I kept looking for that. Nothing showed up.
And when you started the work down there, Brendan, did you notice a bit of curiosity from the neighbours and the passerbys?
No, they weren't. No, we spoke to a lot of people there. Some people thought they would never come back, but they did. All back. No, the people, the locals were the finest there about it all. They were delighted to see it done. Yeah, delighted to see it.
And it's like night and day between what it was before you started work and when the work was completed.
It was, of course, yeah, because of the railings painted and the plaster work done, steps redone. There was a lot of work done there in a short space of time. Made a huge difference to it. Really nice looking place now.
And it was quite an interesting project. Like I was chatting with Victoria Mulcahy with Kerry County Council, and she was saying it was a real collaboration between the 10 different building owners.
It was, yeah, to try and get them all on board. But they all did, Jan. They were all very helpful along the way. There were no problems whatsoever there.
And she was saying after that, it gave the whole street then a lift immediately.
It did. It turned it inside out. It really looks well there now, I think, yeah.
And tell me, Brendan, outside of Tralee, are you working on a lot of projects like this?
I am, yes. I'm working, well, we're stopped at the minute now, but I'm working on some up in Limerick there now. More railings up there, but they're more modern than what I was doing in Tralee. But I would be doing gates and railings basically over a lot of the country from Meath across to Limerick. Done the market house in Stradbally there. Would have done footbridge in Newcastle West. Done weather vanes, bandstands, anything made of iron, basically, I've done it, yeah.
And with some of these old, beautiful buildings, and when you have your railings like this, and they fall into a little bit of disrepair, and obviously it's such a specialised craft in restoring them, is there a risk at times that the owners might just do a cheap and cheerful thing and maybe take them down and replace them with something totally different?
That has happened a good bit.
Yeah.
That has happened a good bit.
And you totally spoiled it.
There's a lot of very nice ironwork that has been, it's gone to the scrap, man.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's hard to get wrought iron now. The only place it can be got now is in England. But it's getting more expensive to get it over now. There's tariffs and that on it, so nothing's easy.
So for that Tralee job, did you have to get wrought iron in from England?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But I had ample warning that was coming, so we had it ordered in plenty of time.
Well done.
Yeah.
Brendan, thanks a million for chatting to me, and a big thanks from everyone at the Heritage Council for playing your own special part at, you know, making one of our special towns sparkle again. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, lovely chatting to you, Brendan. Take it easy.
Thank you.
Back to Victoria to hear more about this project.
And I must mention as well the quality of the stonemasonry as well, and the lime work. The lads who were doing the lime, the Hoare brothers, again, a local plastering company, were Absolutely extraordinarily dedicated to their craft. To see the curve of the walls when they finished, the attention to the detail of all those men who worked on the site. And I suppose, given the fact that there were tight timescales, and given the fact there was COVID, and indeed in Andeay Place, we had a flood in the middle of the project, we had a fire in Denny Street. So there were a lot of uncertainties thrown at us during it. The dedication of those people to, I suppose, producing an excellent quality of craft in Kerry was overwhelming. It's wonderful to see now the end product and the lift it has given the streets. Most extraordinary.
And when you're talking about lift, there's a wonderful expression about, I presume it's a recession type expression, really, but you know, when times are tough, paint your front door. Be positive, give something a little bit of a lift. So I think a lift is really important. As a result of doing that work, what changes?
Okay, I suppose a core example of a change would be I happened to be on Day Place a couple of evenings ago, and I met one of the owners who has bought one of the properties and has said to me, "I need to talk to you. We're going to start carrying out more work now. We want to move in." And I had a big smiley face at him in behind my mask as I was chatting to him, thinking, "This is exactly what I need to hear. This is exactly what this kind of funding can do. It can bring people back, ideally to live or to live and work in these buildings." I remember Alison Harvey during her health check days with us saying, "An empty building is at risk." And I really, really do agree with that. So it's fine to invest in these buildings, but it needs to create life. It needs to bring back vibrancy, people living there. And for me to hear that this project has started a conversation. It mightn't necessarily be about the railings, but it's about the communication, the human contact between that owner and myself on behalf of the County Council. We are there. We are open to talk to people, and it's only by creating those human links a conversation can start. He now knows where to go, who to talk to, how to get advice, how to get funding, how to apply for grants, what his opportunities are. And this to me is what changes.
Yeah, and I know at the center of all this is money and grants and everything, but I think an even bigger part is that spirit that you've awakened. So I'm looking at these beautiful buildings. I'm a resident or a tourist visiting Tralee. I'm noticing the improvements. And then maybe I paint my front door and I embark on my project. And that rising tide lifts all type of idea. And it just encourages more and more. And you get a sense of pride in your place, and it makes a huge difference.
Confidence, Greg, as
Yeah.
well. Yeah, it does. And a confidence to owners and confidence to business people as well, saying, "Ah, this place looks lovely." Planting a seed of thought.
Before we hear more from Victoria, we have a quick chat with Eileen Nolan, the owner of 17 Denny Place. Eileen Nolan, a big welcome to the Heritage Council podcast. How are you keeping?
Good, very good, thank you, on this beautiful Irish day.
Now you're in Tralee, I believe.
Yes, we're in Tralee on Denny Street. It's one of the oldest streets in the town.
Yeah, and you're the owner of a special building there, 17 Denny Street.
Yeah, I own 17 Denny Street. It is the oldest building in the street, and it was part of the old Castle of Queen Victoria, going back to the early 1800s.
Wow.
And then the Denny family, there's huge history attached to the house.
What's the history of the building?
The history goes back to the 1800s, where Queen Victoria ruled the town here, and then the Denny family had it, and they then gave the town back to the people. We still have descendants of the Denny family coming to visit, and they were here about 2 3 years ago. And they dedicated a pane of glass in St. John's Church to the Denny family.
Yeah.
They're now living in London.
Okay. And some of the special features of your building that you knew had to be addressed, could you talk to me about that and how you and the Heritage Council and the Historic Towns Initiative, how all of those pieces come together?
Yeah, well, we're in the building here since 2004. And through the years, really, I suppose, through our weather is horrendous and we get a lot of wind and rain. the windows had deteriorated. So Victoria McCarthy, she is over the council here and over the Heritage Council. She is a brilliant, brilliant woman. And she has a great, great love for the old heritage and architecture and the windows and doors and the panelling. And she just loves the Georgian houses on Denny Street. And she had a grant going last year that if you applied for in time, that the heritage would replace the windows in the house. So I applied for the grant and it made it affordable for me to do all the windows in the house. So because it's very, very expensive to do them, each window has to be taken out. And so it's a really a dedicated job.
Yeah, this isn't any regular window repair. This is very specialized.
No, each window has to be taken out very, very gently. And, you know, we have to be very careful that no damage is done to any of the windows or the timber frame. And then they're all single paned glass. Now, some of the windows still have the original glass and you can tell the difference from the new glass to the old glass. And a lot of the windows we were able to save, which was great.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So Victoria McCarthy, you mentioned her. I know she's a conservation officer with Kerry County Council.
Yes.
This relationship or that you would have with her and the knowledge that you would have had about this initiative that made that work possible, were you aware of it? Did she make you aware of it? Or how did that come about?
No, Victoria is very good for communicating with all the businesses in the town. She'll send out an email. She'll send out a letter. And she doesn't get any. She doesn't let anyone go uninvited, really, I suppose, would be the word. So she's very, very good at letting people know what's going on, what's available for Denny Street, which is our street. So she sent out letters and emails inviting everyone to come to a meeting.
Yeah.
So we came to the meeting and then it's up to us then if we want to apply.
Okay.
Yeah, but she has great interest. It was a very good grant as well.
And for the listener, Eileen, maybe someone who hasn't been to Tralee, could you describe Denny Street for them?
Uh-huh. Denny Street is the widest street in the town. And it is, the minute you turn onto Denny Street, you're greeted by all the old Georgian buildings on the left-hand side and the right-hand side before you come to the beautiful entrance into our beautiful town park, which was also part of the Queen Victoria's estate. And the gardens and the park are absolutely beautiful. And we have a beautiful memorial dedicated to Rose Kennedy and the Rose of Tralee. And all the roses in the garden, they're absolutely beautiful. The Kerry and Tralee Council, they take great pride in the garden and in the roses in the garden. So it's really done beautiful.
Yeah, and you're right. It's a stunning street.
It's a stunning street, yeah. And we're very, very lucky that the council do give out those heritage grants because it makes it affordable to keep up the street and to keep it to the old way and to, you know, to keep the standard of the old look, because it's the only street in Denny Street, along with Day Place, that has the Georgian houses.
And I know on YouTube there's a little video documenting the windows coming out and I guess the state of repair or disrepair they were in and the renovation and the reconstruction and the installation again. That was fantastic. How long did all that work take?
Well, each window took about 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
So when they take out one, they would board it up and the window would go to the workshop and then they would treat it and fix it and repair it to the old sash style again. And now we're able to open all the windows where we weren't before because some of them were very old and rickety and just weather beaten. And now every window, they look really, really stunning. It's really a fantastic job. And then while they were out, we had to board up each window with MDF. And then they would come along and take off the MDF and prepare the frame of the window to prepare for the new window to go back in again.
And that was obviously very specialised work, Eileen. Who did that work for you?
Oh, yeah, very specialised. It was a Polish gentleman. And he did the work and he was very good. It's slow work. You need patience, but slow was fine too because you knew that each window would be done to perfection. It took the good bones of We started last October, I think. It took a good while, you know. But these jobs, anything done good, is going to take time.
Yeah, and the video on YouTube was very interesting. You could see a real master craftsman at work and doing all of that. The difference it's made to your property. Could you describe the before and the after?
Oh, yeah. Before, the building, you know, even though it's well-maintained on the inside, but from the outside, it looked, you know, it looked kind of wrecked and old and weather-beaten. And just, it just needed that facelift. And the windows were the answer, really. It really looks stunning now. Absolutely beautiful. Because all the windows were repainted as well with like an off white. So it's just really, really nice. It's the icing on the cake for us.
Fantastic. And your premises, what do you do there?
Yeah, we have accommodation upstairs. So we have 13 bedrooms. And then on the first floor, as you enter on the left and right, we have a tea room, which I called after my grandmother, Mary Ann.
Very good.
So I dedicated the tea rooms to her. And then we have a separate entrance outside on the street to go down into the basement. And we have a restaurant there called Finnegan's. Now we're closed at the moment in restaurant and in the tea room with the COVID. And a lot of our restaurant business would be tours in the summer. So we're well established there as we're in operation for over 27 years.
And hopefully your guests and you know, the people enjoying the cafe and the restaurant will enjoy this beautiful building.
Oh yeah, now we can open all the windows, which is great.
So if you think about it, the Historic Towns Initiative by the Heritage Council, it obviously allows specific people like yourselves to bring something back to life from a different time and a different era. And it's a very specific job. And I know there was another one as part of the Tralee project in Day Place. Obviously, it has an effect on you and your premises has been improved. But did you notice any difference with the neighbours and the passers-by and how it affects them?
Yeah, oh, definitely, because our building is one of the biggest on the street. So an awful lot of people said, oh, my God, the windows, Eileen, they're absolutely beautiful. Makes such a difference. And, you know, it does make a difference. It makes a huge difference. Because if you have a window that's there for the longest time and it's kind of battered, no matter, and it's flaking and it's wind and rain damaged and it's, you know, it's, there's nothing like a new window that goes in that's after being restored and repainted, and it makes such a difference.
In a funny way, Eileen, might it nudge a few of the neighbours then to, you know, to take a little step themselves to improve their premises, etc.?
Yes, definitely, because I think there is a little bit of an attachment. People think when you get a grant, there's going to be a catch.
Yeah.
But I don't. This grant was absolutely brilliant, and I'm very, very grateful, as I've told Victoria many times. We're very grateful to her for getting that grant for us, because I wouldn't have been able to do the windows otherwise. So she's remarkable.
And chatting to Victoria, I think she takes as much pride in the building as you do, nearly.
I think she was standing next to me all the way through until the last window went in. You were so right in saying that, yeah. But that's great. That's what we need, you know. That's what we need to be embedded in those heritage companies and stuff. You know, we need the love like that. That's because it is a love. Even to work in this building, it's a love to maintain the building, to keep it going, to keep it painted, to keep it up to scratch. It's like your own home, really.
And as you say, there's very specialized features in there, so it needs that little bit of extra budget to be able to do
it. Does
that work properly? Yeah,
that's right. Mm-hmm. But it's worth it. It's worth it, you know, because we have the most beautiful entrance going into the park. So when anyone coming out of the park now, they look at my building straight away, and you can see all the new windows, and it's nice. It's upkeeping the town, upkeeping the street, and keeping that old Georgian style look.
Yeah, well done. And not only you enjoy it, and Victoria, obviously, but everyone who passes by, be it, you know, the residents of Tralee or visitors to the town. And please God, we'll have loads of those at some point, maybe the summer and beyond.
Yeah, no, we're very grateful for the Heritage Council to give that grant. And if there are any more, we'll be availing of them.
Yeah, fantastic.
Down the road. Yeah.
Eileen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your story.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'll be down in Tralee at some point, and I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing all of that wonder, a pot of tea. That sounds good. Or maybe a bite to eat downstairs in Finnegan's.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime, you'd be more than welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Eileen. Take care.
Yeah, God bless, and thank you. And thanks for inviting me on the podcast.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Bye now. Thank
you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Back to Victoria to hear more about this project. To the other conservation officers around the country who are contemplating putting in those grant applications, and I'm sure you would like to be doing other things than wading through a bit of admin, what would your advice be to them or to building owners who'd love to do something with their precious buildings and what have you?
Yeah, I suppose the conservation officers in Ireland are a hugely dedicated and enthused group of people. Some of them have been in their position for nearly 20 years, and I suppose I've learned a lot from them as well. But they are really dedicated to looking after historic buildings. So if you're an owner, pick up the phone and contact your local conservation office in your county council. They are only too willing to push an open door, if you'll excuse the pun. So if you make contact, they'll give you advice, they'll help you with grant applications. They are very, very knowledgeable. They run lots of practical workshops. They're very, very good at their job. And for owners, just go for it. Just go for it. Pick up the phone, make contact, get a conversation going. It can be over several years if you need to do that from a financial point of view. I know I'm only delighted when people make contact and we say, right, well, we'll do the front windows 1 year, the back windows another year. Whatever it is to get a project going, it's not too overwhelming a task to start. But without starting, it'll never happen.
Was it relevant that you're a Corkonian doing all this work in Kerry? Do you even mention that down there?
I do, actually. I'm sure people are smiling at me now at this stage. And I suppose with the young Kerry boys at home, I suppose I'm firmly rooted here at this stage. But Cork is always home. But I'm very, very proud of Tralee, so I am.
Yeah, it's a beautiful town. And those streets that you're talking about are absolutely wonderful. There was an interesting connection between the two projects, and I'm going to use the word day.
Yes, indeed.
Could you join those dots for me?
Yeah, I can. And it's a lovely, lovely story, I think. So Justice Robert Day was the developer who laid out Day Place in around 1800, 1803, and Justice Day being a man, of course. And then about 20 years later, his son-in-law, Sir Edward Denny, who was the Tralee landlord, demolished the Tralee Castle, which is at the top end of Denny Street, and laid out Denny Street for building plots. But the connection is through a girl called Elizabeth, or Betsy. And Betsy was Justice Day's daughter, who married at the age of 16, Edward Denny. So there's a wonderful portrait of Elizabeth Day, and she's the most beautiful, beautiful woman. And I think it's something that often gets overlooked, is the role of women in our historic domains and landscapes and towns, and the role they had in facilitating the men who were always seen in history. It's them that we think about, but we often overlook the role the ladies played. And there's a lovely comment about Justice Day, who was upset about his wonderful Betsy, who's gloomed this castle's wanting to liven. So I'm not sure how he felt about his daughter with Edward Denny, but I think it's a beautiful story, just the link between those two wonderful streets in Tralee through the link of a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, and Tralee gets the benefit of all of that beauty and that development. Victoria McCarthy, thank you so much for coming on the Heritage Council podcast. Congratulations on the work that you got done during the pandemic and everything else.
And thank you, Greg.
And best of luck with all the other projects that are going to happen throughout Kerry. You'll be a busy woman, I'm guessing.
Yes, we got funding for Listowel this year.
Fantastic.
So you and I might be talking again this time next year, hopefully.
What's the project?
It's for conservation-led repair of some of the buildings in the Listowel Town Centre. A wonderful, wonderful boost to the community and to the County Council. So off we go again. Have at.
Yeah, and another lift to another fine Irish town. That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Victoria, thank you so much.
Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, take care. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Heritage Council podcast. For more information about our projects and programs, our work with others and our publications, please check our website, heritagecouncil.ie. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. See you again soon.